Hi guys, Pastor Greg Corcoran here from Battlefield Baptist Church. Pray that this sermon is a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge to you in your walk with the Lord. Additionally, I just wanted to say that if we here at Battlefield can ever be a blessing to you, please don't hesitate to contact us. And the best way to do that is through our website at battlefieldbaptist.org. Again, I pray this sermon blesses you, encourages you, and that you'll fall more in love with God, more in love with His Word, and more in love with people.
Blessing. What a wonderful, wonderful song. Brother Lance, you come on. Amen. Hey, let me start with something we said last week. God is able. Amen? Amen. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior we serve. Would you put your hands together one more time and welcome our missionary partner, Lance Hohen Street.
Thank you. The Lord deserves the applause, not me, I guarantee you that. I thank the Lord for my mom. I wouldn't be in prison today without her. She was such a good mom, she sent me to prison. I should specify for those who don't know, but I am your missionary to the military prisons, amen. So my mom's way up in Idaho, but I do thank the Lord for her, and obviously her godly influence in my life has certainly had a great part in my life. And I'd also like to recognize my wife, Christine, if you could just stand real quickly for me. My wife, we will. (clears throat) 32 years of marriage in July, and anybody that can put up with me that long is something special, amen. So if you don't have one of our prayer cards, we do have these. I put them back on the table back there. I think they're still back at the visitor center. So please take one of these. I told the preacher, if you hold it like this, cover my face, it helps. And so y'all make sure and take one of these. Our two daughters are grown and married. We've got our third grandchild going to be born next month. And so we are thrilled about that. And it's just a blessing. I appreciate all that the Lord's done for us. I do want to give just a quick report. Our ministry is going very well. In fact, the reason we were traveling this time of year is we just got done with a revival at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. There are two big military prisons there. There's a level 3 facility, which is 10 years to life, and then there's a level 2 facility, which is up to a 10-year sentence. We had 9 services, and we saw 6 men trust the Lord as their Savior, and so we praise the Lord for that. My wife did go with me. She doesn't always go to all the facilities, but I appreciate her service. She plays the piano for us at the Fort Lewis prison. Anybody ever been out to JBLM, Fort Lewis, Washington? That's where we are. There's a new prison. They just opened it a little over a year ago. It took us a little while to get back in, but we are back, and we are in there weekly. Here the week before we traveled, I was there for about 60-hour work week. We had a lot going on, a big Army Corrections Command conference, but we've seen men there saved regularly. I go into the units there. They're all incarcerated active duty military members, and so as a veteran, that means something to me. And I also love working with the military police. That's my background. And so I love dealing with those military policemen. I've known many of them. I've been there for 20 years at Fort Lewis. So I've seen some of the young privates, private first class, grow up. And now they're sergeant first class, master sergeant, first sergeant. In fact, the command sergeant major for Army Corrections Command was recently there. And the colonel didn't know that I knew him. And he, of course, if you know anything about the sergeant majors do what they want. Nobody tells them what to do. So the colonel, he put the colonel on pause and came running up to me and gave me a big hug and said, "Sir, it's awesome to see you. This is your prison." So it's a blessing. That's the kind of influence God has given to us, and we praise the Lord for your support. I'll tell you this, Battlefield Baptist Church has been a blessing to us. Y'all have supported us for a few years now, and regularly we get a note or a card from Sunday school classes, from individuals here at the church. That means so much to us. It always comes at the perfect time because there are frustrating times in ministry, and your church has always been a blessing. So, Pastor, thank you for your leadership. Church, thank you for your support, your prayers. We certainly need that. Amen. Well, with that being said, I have you turn your Bibles to John chapter 2 this morning. John chapter 2. We'll read a few verses. We'll open in prayer and see if the Lord can help me get this done. Y'all don't need to hear what I've got to say, but I believe the Lord's got something for you. Amen. And so, praise the Lord for your attendance in church this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. We do owe you a great deal. Once you've found your place, if you're able to stand easily, would you stand briefly for the reading of God's Word? If you can't stand, that's fine, but those that can stand easily, if you could stand. St. John chapter 2. We'll read just a few verses. I won't read the entire text yet, but I'll read a few verses and then we'll be seated. The Bible says this: "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." I don't know much wiser words in the Bible. And so the title this morning is this: Wise Words of a Godly Mother. You say, "Well, sir, I'm not a mother. I can't be a mother. I've got a sister that can't be a mom." And listen, you have a godly influence, and you can still have a wise words and serve in a motherly capacity, as my sister does, to many. And so listen, godly words and wise words of a godly mother. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I thank you for this church. Lord, I do pray that you'd meet with us. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help these folks to hear from you this morning. They really don't need my words. They need yours. And God, I pray that you'd encourage them. Lord, thank you for our moms. Thank you for the mothers that are here today. Thank you for the ladies that we have that have invested so much in our lives. We ask that you'd bless them, especially today. Help all these men to just be good to their ladies and their moms. Lord, we love you for all that you are. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. I'll let you be seated. Thank you for standing. So before I get into this, I told the preacher this morning, you know, this text, people turn to this text quite often, and a lot of things can be said about this text. Don't worry, I'm not going to go into the alcohol, this thing this morning. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." I think it goes without saying, we all know that Jesus was not trying to cause a drunken party here. So I'll just leave it at that. I'll say this: all my prisoners, the military guys that are in prison, I asked them, in fact, just recently I teach a series of classes, and I asked them, I said, "How many of you all, even if you're not here because of alcohol, how many of y'all had alcohol in some part affect your crime or the circumstances around your crime?" Without exception, every single one of them raised their hands. I'll just say this: I don't have enough brain cells to waste on alcohol, and so I think it's, you know, it's just a wise thing. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we ought to do something, amen? So we need to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for his mercy there. With all that being said, I want to focus on a few things from the text this morning. First thing I want you to see is this: the invitation. Look how it starts off. "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." The invitation. Have you invited the Lord to your wedding? I'm going to tell you, I wasn't even truly born again. I had a profession of faith. Some of you might know my testimony. But when my wife and I got married, Linda knows, I was not a Christian. I said I was. I was raised in church. I knew all the right things to say. I could put on a tie and carry a Bible. But I was about as born again and changed as this carpet right here. I'm not saying anything bad about your carpet, but it ain't spiritual. Did you know that? You say, "Well, Brother Lance, it's in church." It don't make it spiritual. Just because you're in church doesn't make you spiritual. The only thing that makes you spiritual is Jesus. Nonetheless, I'm glad I invited Jesus to my wedding, because it was a few years later the Lord got a hold of me and I realized he was there and I didn't even know him. And so the Lord moved in, amen? So have you invited the Lord into your marriage? Into your family? Into your homes? Listen, the invitation is very important. You say, "Brother Lance, you're supposed to end with the invitation, not start with it." I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus isn't here, then all this is a club meeting. Yeah. We need to make sure the Lord is there at the beginning. So Jesus was there, and he was invited. He was called and his disciples to the marriage. And thank the Lord for moms. His mom was already there. She already knew the lowdown. She already knew what to say. She had a good view of the field. She was out there on that LPOP, listening post, observation post. She had all the data for the soldiers. She knew everything that was going on in the battlefield, and we're grateful for moms that do that. Yeah. Not only do we see the invitation, first thing I want you to see, or the second thing is this, our insufficiency. You know, we come to church, some of us think we're sufficient, we can do this thing. I'm going to tell you, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I need the Lord to do this. I believe your pastor believes the same way. I've had many conversations with him over the years. Listen, we need the Lord. We are insufficient. You can't do it by yourself. We can't provide by ourselves. You say, well, sir, I've got a daughter that's a mom, baby number three. She called us when she was pregnant. Of course, we're overjoyed. She goes, guess what, mom? Dad, guess what? I'm having another baby. And we're like, praise the Lord, man. Woo! All right, grandbaby number three. How many grandparents are out here? Y'all know what I'm saying? We're all excited. She starts crying. She's like, I can't do this, please. Oh, Lord, please, I can't do this. She started crying, and I felt bad. My wife and I are like, honey, it's okay. Listen, the Lord knows. And she goes, I know, God won't put on me more than I can handle. I said, actually, that's not scripture. But, hold on. We can do nothing. John 15 says we can do nothing. You say, well, sir, I'm a brand new mom, and I just feel like I'm losing it. I feel like I'm a bad mom. I feel like I can't do it. Listen, my wife felt the same way. Thank the Lord. And this is where Mrs. Snow came in. See, my wife was a 19-year-old new bride. We had babies after a few years. We didn't think we could have children. And God blessed us with two miracles. But Linda was there to help Christy. When Christy had those I can't do it moments, brand new mama right here. Listen, sometimes it's overwhelming. I love my grandchildren, but I'm glad they're my daughters. I'm not 20 anymore, you know. I tell you what, they're high energy, get into everything. I mean, all those moments, those meltdown moments. Listen, we're insufficient. That's my point. Did you know that the Lord knows that you're insufficient? God knows you can't do it in life, in marriage, in your family, in motherhood. We are insufficient. Well, Mary noticed these things too. Of course, in context with our story this morning, it says this. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. I want you to think about this. Have you ever noticed in America, we live in a blessed country. I know that maybe not all of us have a lot of money. I've never had a lot of money, probably never will. It ain't about that. But I've been to overseas. I've been to third world countries. Listen, we are in such a blessed country. And most of us, are not in a constant state of want. I'm sure there are things we all want. I understand that. But most of us are not in a place of want. If you really are, come talk to me. Yeah. Listen, God can provide and he'll take care of you. God takes care of us. But Mary comes up to Jesus here. So here's Jesus' mom, and she gives him these words. So I want you to think about this. So we see want in the midst of plenty. Sometimes we're so blessed, we've got so much around us. The word feast itself implies an overabundance, an overflow. But listen, even in your lives of overflow and all the abundance we have, there are still things that are wanting. That word wanting kind of reminds me of Luke 15, where the prodigal son began to be in want. That same word is used here. So, you know, listen, there's want in the midst of plenty. And I'm sure here's what some of y'all might be thinking. I try to break these down, kind of, we call it in the military Barney style, just put it on the bottom shelf. Listen, there are always things that are wanting. We don't understand everything that's going to go on. And even if they had a good wedding planner, now, my daughter chose me to be her wedding planner. I don't know how good or bad that was. I know, my daughter, trust me, that's a blessing. I surely didn't want to let her down, but I think it was, the Snows were there as well when my oldest daughter got married, and, you know, things went really, really well. But most of all, if we got to a wedding party or some big fellowship, if you came to a church fellowship and there were no beverages or there's no meat, you're like, all right, who planned this thing? Where's the preacher at? I mean, it's all the pastor's fault. That's what people say all the time anyway. Come on, I know the pastors take it all. As a chaplain there in the military facility, if something goes wrong, all right, chaps, what's going on? And they get all upset with me. Sometimes that happens. So you say, "What? Who planned this thing?" You know, we plan and prepare, and sometimes we believe we have all we need, just to find out we are in want. I don't know how many of y'all had your life planned out. How many of those more experienced in life have come to a place where you realize life's not all I had planned? I've not achieved all I had planned. I have found some things to be in want. Even though I had planned for all these things, it just didn't quite turn out the way I planned. Anybody like that? I thought you might be. Listen, that's where I am. I had no idea. If you would have told me 25 years ago that I would be a missionary chaplain in military correctional facilities, I would have laughed. I'd have been like, man, you are smoking something. That ain't right. There's no way. I'd never be in. And I'm surprised Linda didn't say amen, because she knew me before I got saved. If God can do something with me, I'm the proof of God's grace. If God can do something with me, and I'm not saying I'm anything, but what God has done is a lot, amen? And so we praise the Lord for that. So we plan, but we always find ourselves short. Yeah. Come on, that should remind you of a scripture, maybe Romans. Yeah. We fall short of the glory of God. Listen, we can never quite attain. We are insufficient. Our resources are lacking. We are completely unable to attain what we really need. We need Jesus. That's where we are. We need his provisions. We need what only he can provide. That being said, it is a Mother's Day message, and I'm thinking about the mother of Jesus. You know, mothers know. My daughter knows her children. She knows how rotten they are. Nod your heads up and down. Now, come on. Did you know the Lord knows how rotten you are too? Nod your heads up and down. God knows. Moms know. Just like, listen, moms, I'm telling you, the Lord, I think God gives them a special insight. They just are aware of things that some of us might never. She knew that they were in want, but she also knew what was within. I'm not saying that she's super spiritual, knew like God does what's in our heart, but moms usually have a good idea what's within us. I know what you did. What did you do? Yeah. Come on, y'all moms. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, who did it? Not me, Mom. I know you did it. You look at me, young man. I can hear my mom. Moms know what's within you. They know what's in your heart. Well, guess what? Mary did too. She also knew. She knows what. What to do. What we need. We think we know what we need. And we go to our mom. Hey, Mom, this is what I need. No, you don't need that. What you really need is a whooping. Our moms know what we need. Listen, I'm telling you. So here's Mary. She knows Jesus. Now I want you to think about this. I don't know if you thought about this at all. You know, Mary had other children. Can you imagine raising God? Do you think she may have noticed a difference in the attitude and behavior, come on now, of her children? So as she's raising her children, Jesus is the one that. Now, you need to share, young man. See, why can't you be like Jesus? There's poor kids, man. I tell you what, that are rough. I'm the oldest of seven, so I understand a little bit about this. You know, sometimes we... Listen, Mary already knew. I wish... And she also knew. Remember the angel came to her? And by the way, I have that verse written down, Luke 1:28. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Listen, I'm not trying to take away from Mary this morning, but she was a human. She was a sinner. She was imperfect. But she recognized who Jesus was. So here they are at this wedding feast. You say, Brother Lance, why are you talking about all this? Because here they are at this wedding feast, and I read a lot of commentaries. And commentators like to argue about this. You know what commentators are, right? It's a plain old potato. Some of y'all got that. Commentator? Come on. I mean, listen, they don't know what they're talking about. All they know is what we know. They're just people trying to figure it out. So they argue, oh, well, Jesus was reprimanding his mother and he was this, that, and the other. I don't see that at all, preacher, do you? Listen, I want you to read this. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. I believe it. He meant exactly what he said. This is what I would be. Mom, really? What, honey, I know you can do. Mom. Come on. Your mom knows what you can do, and they know you can do something. They put you on the spot. He's like, Mom. I don't believe Jesus. Come on, look at me, my God-given eyeball this morning. He was not rude. He was not inconsiderate. He was not disrespectful to his mother. I believe it was just what it said. Mom, really? This is not a mom-son thing. This is a God thing. Come on now. I also believe that this is another reason he did this in the scripture and he answered the way he did. Because listen, I wrote this down in my notes. Jesus knew that people would one day idolize his mother. Now I understand. I just read to you in the Bible, she's highly favored, she's blessed among women, but Mary's called the Queen of Heaven, she's called the Mother of God, she's even called the Salvation of the World and the Mediatrix by some. I'm going to tell you something, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I'm not taking away from Mary, she is blessed and highly favored. She was chosen a godly woman. I'm not speaking ill of her. Don't take that away from this. But I want you to notice, and here's another way I can prove it from Scripture. It's called good hermeneutics, okay? The Bible answers itself. Look what it says in verse number 5. His mother saith unto the servants, can you believe what he said to me? How disrespectful. That is not what she said. She didn't take it that way. She knew who he was. She's like, son, I know you can do this. Mom. She knew him. She knew what they needed. She knew what he had. Come on now. Listen, if you're a born-again believer in here this morning, whether you're a mom or a dad or a young person or whatever, listen, do you know what Jesus has? He has what you need. That's what she wanted them to figure out. So she said unto them, I'll correct my misquote of the scripture here. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Don't look at me. Whatever he says, you need to do what he says. Listen, if you're a mom or a dad or a young person or someone that can't have children, listen, you can still impart these very wise words and be a godly person, and you can point them to the one that can. Whatsoever he says, do it. It would do us well. I tell you, maybe we should just have the invitation right there. Some of y'all might say amen. Get out of here. Listen, why don't we just do what Jesus says? Yeah. You know why we don't do what Jesus says? The guys quote me in the military prison for this. I say, what do people do? And they just in unison, whatever they want to do. Yeah. Y'all hearing me this morning? You know what you do? You do what you want. That's what people do the best, is what they want. But to be a believer, you need to come to the place where we realize our insufficiency. We realize the reason we invited him is because we need his intervention. I need you. The only way to have what God wants is to quit having what you want. Well, what about my wants? What about them? You know what? When God changes your heart, you start to want what he wants. I'm just telling you. You know, that's where the change comes from, is he gives you something you don't have. We'll see that in the text here as we go on. So we see the intervention, we see our insufficiency, we see the invitation. You know, the Lord has great insight, and because of that, we see great instruction, not just of Mary, but also of Jesus. His insight and his instruction. You say, Brother Lance, why did Mary tell her son what he already knew? You know, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, did you know that nothing you take to Jesus surprises him? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to him? That's how obvious. God has never gone, wow, I didn't realize that. That's never happened to him. That happens to us all the time. He already knew. So, Brother Lance, why do we go to the Lord with stuff he already knew? Why did Mary go to him? She knew that he knew. She had to know. Listen, moms, you know. You know which kid did what. You know your kids. She already knew that Jesus knew. Why did she? Because the Lord wants us to go to him. How many times have my daughters, they're almost 26 and 28 now. They turn those ages this summer. And they still, to this day, usually I know when they're in need. But I just like them to pick up the phone and say, hey, Daddy. Yeah. I want to know that they need me. You know, God just wants you to call him. Even if you already know he knows, he wants you to call him and tell him anyway. Yeah. Listen, why don't we just go to the Lord and tell him and talk to him? Yeah. And then listen to the wise words of a godly mother. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You know, most of our problem is in churches. I preached in hundreds of churches across this country. Most of our churches today, people think that we've got it all figured out. We think we're doing all these things. But the realization needs to come when we realize we don't have it all together. And we need only him. That's really what it is. Here's the instructions. And there were 6 water pots of stone in verse 6. After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. I don't know if you have ever studied this out. I'll be brief this morning about it. But so I did research this a little bit. These Water pots were used for Jewish ritual purifications. They were typically about 25 gallons each, and it varies depending on whether it's two or three firkins, because it says that, but about 25 gallons apiece. But I want you to also notice this, that the number six was used. There were six pots. Well, throughout Scripture, once again, biblical hermeneutics, it all ties in together. Listen, we are vessels of clay. Now, this says stone pots, but listen, we are earthen vessels. The number six represents imperfection. In case you don't know what imperfection is, if you looked in the mirror this morning, you saw that. I'm not trying to be offensive, but we are not perfect people. Come on now, are we perfect? That's why we're in church this morning. We need Jesus. I know I'm not perfect. Now, moms are pretty close to it sometimes. I understand. I've been married a long time, I know. But they're not. Mary may have been close to it. She might have been a very godly, right woman. And we all know moms are right when you're not. We got that. But they're not perfect. But Jesus is. The instructions. Six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they said to Jesus, listen, they said to Jesus, we already have some. That's not what they said. Did you notice that? I keep changing scripture on you to get your attention. They didn't say, well, we already got some. Listen, I've had this conversation with church people all the time. Hey, they'll come up to me, hey, you're a missionary. Yeah, Brother Lance, you know, what about this and what about that? What they're telling me is, oh, I've already got some. Hey, I appreciate your message, but I'm already there. Yeah. Hey, take these water pots and go fill them. Oh, Lord, I've already got some. Now, do you want some or do you want to be overflowing? Yeah. We need to empty ourselves of our imperfection. Yeah. The symbolism of man and our imperfection, that's what this represents. Yeah. Lord, I need to empty that out, and I need to do exactly what you say. I need to be filled. Amen. I want you to notice something else about this. They didn't say, Jesus didn't say, hey, listen, I will fill it for you. Y'all looking at me this morning? I'm trying to be nice since Mother's Day. But some of us come to church and say, well, Pastor Greg, you didn't fill my pot. Some of us do that with the Lord. Lord, you're supposed to fill me up. Whoa. The Lord told you to get filled up. I don't know what you think the water is, but if you came to the church this morning and your water pot was already filled, did you know Jesus might be able to do something with that? The problem is we sit there in the hog pen like the prodigal son, wanting him to come get us out, but he didn't say that. We come to ourselves, we realize our insufficiency, and then we go to Him. Let Him fill you. They didn't say, well, I've already got some. I've already got some religion, sir. I'm good. Listen, I said that for years, and I didn't have anything but muddy water in this pot. I don't know where you are with the Lord this morning. But they, look what it says. They filled them up to the brim. How full are you this morning? How full are you? I don't know how full you are. Listen, there have been times I've been overflowing. There's been times I've been bone dry too, saying, dear Lord, I need help. Listen, the instructions are very important. They filled them up to the brim. Then he said in verse number 8, and he said unto them, dry out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Can you imagine? Here's Pastor Greg and Lance. We just filled the water pots. Now I want you to take those pots of water. We're looking at each other. This is water. And I want you to go to the governor of the feast. First of all, that's a lot of weight. I mean, we got some work to do. So he wants us to take these two full pots of water to the governor. There's just water in there. Man, that governor's going to have us. They didn't hesitate. Did you notice that? They didn't hesitate. They didn't question. They didn't say, well, Lord, why? God, I can't take them water. This is water. And water back then, if you've done some studying on it, they didn't always have access to fresh, clean water. Even when they had good water, they had to do things for purification. That's why things needed to be done. But boy, that sounds a lot like us. Listen, we need some purification too. Yeah. We're in this same kind of thing. And listen, it said, and they bear it. You know what that is? It's called faith. Yeah. Faith. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and he knew not whence it was. Look at the parentheses here. But the servants which drew the water knew. And I was looking at this morning, going over my notes before I came to church this morning, and I see this semicolon with the end of the parentheses. It looks like one of them wink faces. I can see it now. Here's Pastor Greg and me. We take these pots of water to the governor. He tastes it. He's like, What? Where'd you get this, man? And we're like, we know where we got it, but we know something he don't know. Listen, I just like that. You know, listen, did you know that the world will do that to you? When they see something different, follow peace, Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You might be the only glimpse of God someone in the world gets. They can't see spiritual things, but you know where you got what you got, they don't. But they can see it in you, and it's our job to tell them. Listen, the Lord's so good. They took it to the governor of the feast. The governor of the feast called to the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning to set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine till now. This is the beginning of miracles. Did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. Listen to what it says. And his disciples believed on him. Y'all get this. Every time you do something for the Lord and you obey him and you get filled up and you let God do his work, you know what? Your faith will grow. Every time you see God do a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, mamas, there is hope. Listen, my grandson runs around like a wild man. He turns 5 this month. He's insane. My granddaughter is even crazier. But there is hope. Listen, my daughters were the same way, and now they're beautiful, godly women married to godly men that take them to church, that love the Lord. There is hope. But you've got to remember, just keep telling them what Mary said, the wise words of a godly mother. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I told my daughters that from a young age. Just whatever Jesus says, just do what the Bible says. Follow Jesus. Whatever he says, no matter how crazy, God will take care of it. It might not make sense. Usually it won't. You probably won't understand. But God knows. I'm almost done. These instructions. I have to read this. Normally, I don't like reading my notes, but I like this. We are often just half-cracked pots of muddy water, trying to present ourselves as full pots of the finest wine. We know what we are. Listen, I don't come up here and try to be anything to you. Listen, Linda knows. God can take nothing and make something. God can take imperfect and perfect it. God does the changing. Listen, the last thing this morning is this, the intervention. Jesus does the miracle, the changing, the transformation. It all belongs to him. Only he can do the miracle. He makes the wine, not you. It's your job to get full of water. I'm going to fill up in the water of his word. The Lord does the changing. It's all about him. He makes the wine, not you. Listen, he is responsible for the miraculous conversion, not you. He makes the converts, not you. He stirs hearts, not you. He convicts of sin, not you. He saves to the uttermost, not you. It's all about the Lord. We just need to do what Jesus says. His servants knew what they put in the pots, but they still did what Jesus said. His word will make all the difference. Are you in his word every day? Listen, don't just come to church. Come full. And as the pastor or whomever gets up to preach, say, God, please do the change that only you can. Has it ever occurred to you that all those in need around us, the need, the want that was there, listen, God fills you and changes you to meet the need that's there. Unless people here in Warrenton are just naturally godly, perfect people. Yeah, the laughs say it all. We know they're not. Listen, I drove here this morning. I know they're not. People riding my tail and all this kind of stuff. Boy, if you could lose your salvation, be driving, I tell you that right now. I don't believe you can, but if you could, that's how it would happen. Listen, do you know the Lord this morning? His miracle will happen if we just do what he says. Listen, this morning, I don't know what's, moms, I don't know what's on your plate. I know my daughter's called us crying many times. The hardships and difficulties, my instructions are always the same. She always says, Dad, you always know the right things to say. Listen, basically, all I tell her is what Mary did. Now, I'm not a mother, but I do try to do it, what Mary did. Those wise words from a godly mother, listen, they resound in my mind. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Honey, are you in church? Are you talking to the Lord? Take it to him. Listen, let God do that miracle in your life. Listen, I don't know where you are this morning, but listen, I pray that those godly words will resound in your mind, not just today. Leave church different this morning. Let God work in your hearts and lives and change you there. If we can have the pastor and musicians come, I thank the Lord for today. I thank the Lord for this church. Maybe there's someone here, you say, Brother Lance, you have no idea. This pot is full of muddy water. You know what? If you bring that pot full of muddy water up to the altar and you say, Lord, I need you to do the miracle that only you can, God can and will change you miraculously. God will do it. Do you believe that? Church, do you believe that? I mean, that's why we come to church. Hopefully you understand. Maybe there's someone beside you that doesn't realize that, and maybe they need to do that. Maybe there's someone here that's struggling. Whether the Lord has done miracles in your life, but you're going through some things. Listen, would you just trust the Lord? Ask God for his help. As a mother, I've watched my wife. I've seen her on her knees praying many, many times, mainly for her rotten husband, but sometimes for her kids. And listen, if you're a mom that's struggling, listen, come to the altar. Jesus will do what only he can do. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. I pray that we would remember these wise words from Mary. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and grace in Jesus' name.